2 Corinthians chapter 13. I am up here to see my family, I was telling Brother Kyle earlier this year, it seems hard to believe it. I left here 30 years ago. 30 years ago. I was at my brother's house Saturday, me and my siblings, we were all together, and I remember as a child growing up to see all of my aunts and uncles and cousins and whatnot, and all the kids would get together and run around and play, and all the old people sat in the living room and talked, and I guess I'm one of the old people now, because that's all we did, we sat and talked. So 30 years I left here and went down to Pensacola and just been serving the Lord. I've been in Oklahoma City now about a year and a half and helping with a church a little bit north of Oklahoma City, Enid, Oklahoma. Pastor Will Kreveling is my pastor and teaching Sunday school and preaching, filling the pulpit, helping with music. My son and my daughter are there and they're working in children's ministry and also with the music. So we're busy and still serving the Lord, and Brother Kyle's been a great friend, but I have to tell you, he was my pastor before I went to Bible school and really helped get me established. I'm very, very thankful for that. I'm really excited about this right here. This is on your back table. Missions. You know, a lot of churches don't support missionaries. And you know, a lot of churches, when they hit hard times, they drop their missionaries. And so it's always exciting to see churches that are still supporting missionaries, and our church is kind of struggling. We've had some difficult things happen in the last year or so, and yet we're still supporting our missionaries. So it's the people get upset and leave, and somehow or another we still have the money to support missionaries. It's kind of weird how that works, but anyway, some of you may get that, some of you may not get that, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings and thank you for saving us. Thank you for our health and our freedoms. Thank you that we can come here and meet and open up the Word of God and look at it to see what you have to tell us. Thank you for these missionaries and for these folks that are here tonight. We ask that you would hear these requests that have been made and answer them according to your will. I pray, God, that you grant us ears to hear, that we might be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church. We'll give you glory for it, Lord. We need to hear from you tonight, and we'll thank you for what you do. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. I appreciate your continued prayers. I believe God is going to be doing some things as far as ministry is concerned. And I've talked with Brother Kyle about this, but just pray that God would continue to work and open and close doors as he sees fit. Now, I want to focus here, verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while on examine yourself. The idea The idea of self-examination is a critical part of the Christian life, but it's certainly not a new concept. We use the same concept in real life. Most of you go to see the doctor occasionally. Me, I avoid the doctors as often as I can. I prefer not to see them, and I hope I never see them again. But anyway, maybe you never know. I like getting my teeth clean. I'm very fastidious about my teeth, but the doctors, they practice, you know. You get the idea, though. You got to have eye exams, you know, because, I've got to where I can't see very well without these. You got to have them checked, and you got to go to the doctor to get things checked, and you go to the dentist, get things checked. And I don't know where, for your job, but for my job, I have to have recurrent training. I have to do training every year. It's the same thing, and you click, 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 done. I hope I can remember the questions of the test, you know, that kind of, but it's self-examination. You're examining yourself, and you're just checking. It's a wellness check. You're just checking up to make sure everything's in order. So we do this in real life, and yet we should do this in our Christian life as well. And I think sometimes we get kind of lazy with it, all right? I may not go to the doctor, but I do keep track of myself. And when there's things that don't feel exactly right, I start asking questions and, you know, we take appropriate steps. But in the Christian life, we need to do the same type of thing. We need to check up. We need a checkup. You got to examine yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, it says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I'm a manager where I work, and so I oversee several employees, and my job is to make sure they're doing their job. And what I tell the ones who don't do their job, that it would be a lot easier if they would check up on themselves rather than me having to check up on them, right? Because when I'm checking up on them, that's no good. The best employee is the one you never talk to. You know, they're the ones that they come in, they punch out, they do their job, they go home, and you don't have to worry about it. It's the guys you're always wondering, what in the world is that guy doing? That's the guy that's going to give you trouble. And if they would just examine themselves, some of the best employees I've had, that I've talked to them, and I just talk to them about doing their job, and they're like, you know, every day at the end of my shift, I'm just thinking about what could I have done better? You know, maybe I work for FedEx, so, you know, you guys out driving and deliveries. And, you know, maybe I should have turned here instead of turned there. Maybe, this delivery point's not in the front, it's in the back, you know. And you're thinking about it, and you're examining yourself to see how can I improve and become better. We as Christians, we've got to do the same thing. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Maybe the Lord wouldn't have to chastise you as often if you would take care of the business yourself. Amen? The easiest thing to do is when the preaching happens and the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that you come down to the altar and make it right. That's easy. I got a new boss last year, and he and I butted heads a few times. And he came into my office, and he shut my door, and I thought, this isn't going to be good. We started talking, and I said, well, I don't agree with that. And he goes, let's do this. We can do this the easy way, or we can do it the easy way. And I'm like, what does that mean? He says, well, you know, you can just do what I tell you, or that's easy for you. What's easy for me is that I just give you a discipline and you can sign off on it. I said, well, I'll take the easy way, right? So, you know, and it's the same principle with the Lord. You know, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So the same thing in James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 24, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I've done that. You know, we guys, we don't care. You know, but it does happen sometimes. You go in there and you check, and then you turn around and you forget. And that's how we are as Christians sometimes. We kind of forget who we are and what we are. Examine yourself. And I want to look at four things here tonight. About this self-examination. Verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And the first thing I want to say is this, this is a Wednesday night, so I hope I don't have to belabor this point, but, it's a possibility. The question is this, are you saved? We got to start at the beginning. Are you even saved? And there's several younger people here. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've grown up in church your whole life. You've been to church camp. And maybe I know how it was. I grew up in the Fourth Baptist crowd. I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. I went to Camp Clearwaters when I was growing up. And, I know how it was. We'd go to Bible camp in the summer, and you'd have some, you know, loudmouth preacher up there, and he'd go, you know, just ranting and raving, and the Holy Spirit would come, and the conviction would come. And then at the end of the service, you know, everyone comes down to the altar. Everyone came down to the altar, because if they didn't, then everyone's looking at him like, why aren't you at the altar? Nobody wanted to be singled out, you know, so everyone's at the altar. And guess how many people got changed? Very few. There were some who actually took it seriously. I took it seriously. I mean, I was raised in a good home. You don't play around with God's things. And when the conviction came, I was like, man, I don't want to have to go to Bible camp again, because then I'm going to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Then I'm going to have to confess and make things right. Then I'm going to have to try to do right. And then one year I decided I'm going to hold out. I'm not going down, because I'm just not going to do it. You know, your knuckles turn white, you know. How many kids went to camp and went down to the altar, did not get saved, did not make things right, and just went about their lives? Right? So there's a very good possibility. I mean, are you even saved? And it asks the question there in verse 5, how that at the end of the verse, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. That term reprobate is used for lost people. Talks about Romans chapter 1, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Talks about in 2 Timothy 3 verse 8, speaking of Jonas and Jambres, who withstood Moses, it says, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They're not saved. So when we talk about examining ourselves, are you saved? Now listen, I'm not trying to plant doubt in your heart, all right? I went through all of that stuff too. You know, if you're not sure, you better make sure. You know, the best way to just get saved over again and, you know, retreads and reach. And I understand the doctrine of eternal security. Certainly would never want to make anyone question their salvation, but you should determine if you are saved or not. I know I'm saved. When you get to the book of 1 John, and I understand the dispensational underpinnings of the book, but one of the themes of 1 John is assurance. You can know these things. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And you should know it. I don't remember the date when I got saved, but I certainly remember the day when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. You should have some recollection, something that you can go back and hang your hat on and said, that point right there, that's when my life changed. That's when I received Christ as my Savior. Are you saved? Examine yourself. The second thing I want to say tonight is this. Are you sound in doctrine? Are you sound in doctrine? Examine yourself. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Jude verse 3 tells us this, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. That's the body of doctrine, right? Are you sound in the faith? Listen, doctrine matters. We live in a day and age where people want to ignore doctrine. They don't want sound doctrine. It's too divisive. It's too offensive. You're too loud. You're too soft. You're too this. You're too that. Any excuse will do. Amen? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Class participation time. We'll try that again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? Doctrine. Doctrine. Doctrine is important. I've been in discussions with people where, you know, we're talking about a doctrine, and I'll say, well, according to Psalms, this. So, whoa, you can't quote from Psalms. That's just poetry. Is it scripture? Because all scripture is given for what? Doctrine. Yeah, doctrine is full of, Psalms is full of doctrine. Yeah. My goodness, how do you not see doctrine in the book of Psalms? How do you not see doctrine in the book of Proverbs? You know why? Because it's too hard. The modern approach in your more contemporary churches is let's build relationships. I'm all for one-on-one discipleship. I believe that's a biblical thing. We sit down and we teach people the Bible. I get that. I understand it. A relationship is a byproduct of that. But you don't throw out the rest of the Word of God so you can do one part of the Word of God. Amen? You got to take the whole thing. Amen? I mean, if we're gonna throw out doctrine so that we can develop relationships, well, what about Jeremiah and Isaiah and those guys? God did not say, Isaiah, go down to the gates of Jerusalem and just sit and mingle and let's build some relationships there. And, you know, I don't see that. I love the prophets. I ended up getting COVID. I was in the hospital for a few days. I did not have to do the breathing machine, and I did not take the vaccine. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say that. And I'm back home, and it took me several weeks to recover. It wasn't a horrible case, but it was worse than normal. And so I thought, you know, I need something to relax. I can't sleep all day. You got to have something. But needed something to relax. And so I thought, I'm going to listen to the Bible. And in that state of mind, your body, I mean, everything's really out of whack. It was really weird. It was very, very strange having that COVID, and it messed with your brain. It messes it. I don't know what it did. It's kind of creepy. Anyway, I'm listening to the Bible, and I thought, I'm going to listen to the prophets. You know, that ought to be good for me. I didn't really realize how harsh those guys were. Because when I'm a normal person, like now, I read Jeremiah, and I'm like, yeah, get him, Jeremiah, that's right, praise God, that's it, yeah, glory, preach a judgment, yeah. And when you're sick, and you're like, I need comfort, and I need rest, and you don't listen to Jeremiah, I mean, that's it's not very comforting. I don't see Jeremiah building very many relationships. Not that that part isn't important, but, you know, are you sound in doctrine? We're talking about examining yourselves, whether you be in the faith. All Scripture is given for doctrine. The entire Bible is given for doctrine. I mentioned it, 30 years. It's incredible. I think, how did that happen? How did I get old? What happened? I don't know. But I've been teaching. I was talking to Brother Kyle. I've taught through a series of lessons on the tabernacle. I don't know how many times I've taught that. But every time I teach it, I find something else. And I was listening to Brother Donovan teach this afternoon when I drove up. And he mentioned some things. I'm like, man, how have I missed that? I'd missed that little part. I didn't catch that. Every word of God is pure. Yeah. Folks, don't ever take the King James Bible for granted. Because our first approach is, number one, we believe the Bible, but we believe that every single word in the Bible is significant. God put it there for a reason. And once you get rid of the King James Bible, now not every single word is significant or important. And before long, you're glossing over all the doctrine so you can build relationships. Right? And so then you start losing stuff. Do you believe the Bible? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God will have a tremendous effect in your life if you just believe it. Amen? Amen? And I think that's where a lot of Christians go sideways. It's almost like they're waiting for a lightning bolt to, you know, strike, you know, God's voice to sound from heaven to tell them what to do. It's really simple. You take the Bible, you believe the Bible, you spend time reading the Bible. Say, but I'm not getting anything out of it. Okay, what did you get out of your last meal? I mean, you didn't feel anything, you just ate, right? Probably ate too much, right? You just do it because you need to do it. You eat your meals so that you stay alive and you stay healthy. You don't have to have T-bone steak every time you sit down to eat a meal. Amen? When you sit down and read your Bible, why are you looking for the T-bone steak every time? Just take the meal. They had manna for 40 years. There's a couple of different ways they could prepare it, but in the end, it was manna. Right? You can only do so much with manna, you know? I mean, you know, when I was down in PBI, and there was a couple that lived next to me, and they had beans and rice every meal, every day for a year. That's what they had, beans and rice. There's only so much you can do with beans and rice. In the end, it's just beans and rice, you know. But it's good food, and it kept them alive, amen. There is the Book of Chronicles, not always the easiest portion of Scripture to get through. But every word of God is pure. Every word is there for a reason. I'm reading all those names. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know why you put these names here. Maybe it's just a test of my linguistic abilities. You know, maybe you want me to pronounce things better. I don't know, but all of these names are here. Listen, your name's written in the Book of Life, right? God put the name in there. That must have meant something to God. I don't know what it means. I just know it's there. I need to read it. Eat your broccoli, you know. You know, when Jesus Christ shows up in the Gospels, people start following him, and the Bible says that the common people heard him gladly. He taught one as one that had authority. I listen to Bible scholars. They don't seem to have much authority. They don't know what they're talking about most of the time. And then they, you know... Anything but what's in the Bible. That's basically their approach. Oh, wait. I'm teaching on the tabernacle, you know. And in your Bible, it says that one of the materials was badger skins, which is kind of weird. It couldn't have been a badger skin. No. It had to have been a porpoise or a seal skin. Wait. Do you know what happens when you throw out the Bible? You start creating problems in the Bible. A porpoise is an unclean animal because it doesn't have scales. So you're going to tell me that they used the skin of an unclean animal to cover their tabernacle? How does that make sense? Only if you're a scholar. Are you sound in doctrine? Are you sound in doctrine? Doctrine is important. And you know what happens is we now live in the touchy-feely age where we don't want to offend anybody and we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings and we want everyone to come. We want everyone to be loved, right? What am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What's more important, truth or your feelings? Well, my friend believes such and such. That's great. Doesn't change the truth. You know what I found out? I can still believe the truth, and I can still tell my friend the truth, and they can still be my friend. But they should know what you believe. And you want to know what I found out? Instead of you being worried about how everyone's going to feel about you, they will actually respect you more if you tell them the truth and then don't compromise on it. You will actually gain more respect for doing that. Now, somebody might get upset with you. So people get upset with me all the time. After a while, you don't care. So what? Just ask my employees. Doctrine matters. It does matter what you believe. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be a jerk. You can be nice. You know, it's, it might be a stretch for some of you, but you can be nice. Having, it says, verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So you can hold a sound doctrine. You can be nice about it. You can answer in meekness and fear. And the whole point is that what Peter is getting to there is this: take away their excuse. Don't let your obnoxious, terrible attitude destroy your testimony. You can hold the sound doctrine, and you can still present that sound doctrine in a good manner so that when they come after you, they don't really have anything to say. Amen? I love doing that. I love it when I take people's excuses away. It's fun. The average Christian relies solely on others to teach them. They never study anything for themselves. They never learn anything for themselves. And then guess what? When that false doctrine comes along, it blows them off course because they don't have anything in themselves to hold themselves steady. That's why God gave you a pastor. That's why God gives you a church, so that you can learn, so that you can grow. But at some point, it has to become yours. Amen? Thankful for the years I spent here learning not just what's in the Bible, but how to study the Bible. We're all tempted to try to find something new. And Jeremiah said, you need to seek out the old paths. There isn't any new doctrine. Okay? The doctrines we hold to are the doctrines that have been taught from the Bible for nearly 2,000 years. I don't need to find anything new. I need to understand what's already there. We've always got to come up with some new thing, some new wrinkle. Until I gain a full comprehension of what's already in there, I'm just going to stick with what I got. Amen. Every doctrinal position has been argued endlessly for the last 2,000 years. You understand that? I mean, do you know that? How do we not know this? You know why? Because people aren't students of history. People aren't students of the Bible. I don't know about you, Brother Kyle. I find doctrines not that difficult. You just have to have a desire to learn, a desire to grow. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, add to your faith knowledge, and to knowledge virtue. All of that knowledge does, it just helps you understand God more, and it gives you a desire to be more like Him. Amen. So doctrine is important. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you saved? Are you sound in doctrine? Say, I'm not really sure about some of these doctrinal things. Well, get with your pastor. Get with some of these people around here. Start asking questions. They can point you in the right direction. They can help you. You owe it to yourself to learn more doctrine. Amen? You really do. You really do. And you're the one missing out. I was having a conversation. I was studying some stuff about the tabernacle, and I'm finding stuff, and I'm like, wow, this stuff just blows my mind. This is so fantastic. Look at this, and look at this, and look at this. And I was getting all excited, and I was telling somebody, a friend of mine, and they said, I don't get it. I'm like, how do you not get it? This is great stuff. Well, my Sunday school class appreciates it, so. You say, what does it do for you? It just gets you excited about the things of God. This world, I don't know about you, it's crazy. It's nuts. There's nothing. This world, young people, listen to me. This world holds nothing for you. There's nothing out there. I work a job. It's a job. You know, that's all it is. Sports. I was athletic. I used to play. I enjoyed it. Not anymore. It's there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Solomon said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. What matters is eternity. That's what matters. All right, third thing here tonight is this. Number one, are you saved? Number two, are you sound in doctrine? Number three, and I believe this is a real point of this passage, are you in sin? Oh, I had to go negative. Sorry. Not sorry. Verse 1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now, what he's talking about here, verse 2, I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. That's a great question. What does all this mean? Let's keep reading. I'll come back and I'll explain all this. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. But now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. You might think I'm a reprobate, but as long as you get it right, I'm okay with that. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Now, what's Paul saying? Paul's saying this. Listen, I've written to you. I've come to you. We've talked. I've told you what you need to do. You're still not doing it. Some of you are going around saying, well, you know how Paul is. His letters are powerful and weighty, but, you know, when he gets here, he's just a cream pie. He's a pushover. He's soft. He's nothing. You know, he can talk big, but when he shows up, he always backs off, you know. So what Paul is saying is this. All right, you guys that have been sinning, I've given you a couple chances. Bible says two or three witnesses. I've already given you two or three chances. You want to know what the power of apostle is? You're going to find out. Because if you ain't right, when I get there, I will demonstrate to you the power of an apostle. Now, I know how that works, because I've had children. Amen? And sometimes you try to give your children a little bit of leeway, you know. All right, when I get home, you had better have that mess picked up, right? And if they don't, then, you know, angry daddy bear comes out, and things aren't happy for a little while. That's basically what Paul is saying. You want me to demonstrate the power of an apostle? It's like my boss said, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the easy way. Which way do you want it? Examine yourself, he says, whether you be in the faith. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. What he's saying is this. If you're saved, act like it. Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. If you are saved, Jesus Christ dwells inside of you. Is that correct? All right. Then he says, I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Paul says, I'm not lost. I'm pretty sure you're saved. Jesus Christ is in you, but you got some problems. You need to get it right. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Isn't that what one of the buzzwords for today is? Well, I just didn't know who I was. You didn't know what you were. I know who I am. Know ye not your own selves? In this day, and I hate to say this, but this is creeping into our independent Baptist churches. Everything's positive. Everything is positive. Now, I'm a negative person by nature. I'm skeptical of everything. Everything. My car's probably going to blow up when I pull out on the highway. You know. Well, pray I can get home safe tomorrow. Probably have a flat tire, you know. Par for the course, you know. What do you expect when you get back to work? I don't know. Let's see. I have 11,000 unread emails. I'll probably have 20,000. What's going to happen? It's all going to go. That's how I. But this day and age, we can't handle that. Everything has to be positive, 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 positive. And it's getting into our independent Baptist churches. You're such a wonderful person. God loves you. And that, if you are saved, God does love you. That's true. That's true. But you're not a wonderful person. You can smile about it all you want, but you're not. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Vanity. Let's see. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's bad. It's not like, yeah, you know. You know, see, he's okay. He's got his faults, you know. But, you know, we can work on it. God loves you. You're wonderful. That's not what God says. Your heart, the problem with all that positive preaching, you know what the problem is? You are already deceiving yourselves. And then you hear more, and you're like, well, it's okay for me to get a tattoo. I mean, I got a Bible verse on it. That makes it all right, you know? So, you know, I used to joke about this, Pastor. This thing is, my OCD is really kicking in here with this mat. Because it is comfortable, but it moves. I used to joke about this years ago, because years ago, the big boogie bear was alcohol. Can Christians drink alcohol? It's still somewhat debated, but who doesn't drink alcohol? Well, I don't, because the Bible's against it. Whoa, Jesus drank wine. That's what I hear all the time. So I would jokingly say, what's next? Christian cocaine? Folks, seriously, we're not that far away from there. We're really not. I mean, what's happened in Christian communities? Know your own selves. When all you hear is your best life now and you're just wonderful, everything's going to be great, isn't it so happy? No! The devil's coming. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. Amen. How else can we say it? The devil is the god of this world. He's taking over. We're watching this unfold in front of our eyes. We are not getting better. Humanity as a whole is not getting better. It's getting worse. I mean, it isn't like we've gone over the cliff. We went over the cliff a long time ago. We're just free falling faster and faster and faster, and the ground's getting closer and closer, and we're going to hit splat pretty soon. We're just waiting for that trumpet to blow. Amen? We're waiting for the Lord to say, come up hither. But my goodness, folks, Jeremiah, he had to go through the captivity. I don't know. I'm not prophesying. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I can say is not getting better. It is getting worse. You need to know yourself. Because what's down deep in that heart is deceit and self-justification. Of course it's right because I did it. That's seriously how people think. I know I deal with employees, and the older guys, you know, they're better. But some of these younger generation, no offense to you, younger generation, but your generation's dumb. I don't know how else to, if there is such a thing as evolution, and of course we don't believe that. But I think the next phase is that this becomes embedded in the hand, maybe like that, or because they can't function without this. If it were up to me, I would take this thing and I would chunk it as far as I could, and then I would find it and drive over it. And if there was anything left, I would find a sledgehammer and smash it. It's convenient to have the technology. Because I've written, I don't know how many sermons, I quit counting. They take up an entire shelf on my... I would hate to have to lug that all over the country. It's really nice to have everything right here in this tablet. But, I mean, we get that, but what have we lost? People can't function without this. You know, I remember when I became a courier, we had paper maps. You memorized street names, and you understood how the block numbers work. Now, it's like, my driver's like, how come it took you so long to go? It's only a half a mile. Man, you could have walked there faster than you drove over there. What happened? Well, on my thing, it was, I want to reach out and take it and throw it away, but I can't. It's company property. So, I'm sorry, young generation, you guys, you got to learn how to think. Try going a day without your phone, really. But my point, my greater point is this, know your own selves. You've got to stop listening to all this self-help garbage. That Bible says you're a sinner. That Bible says you deceive yourself. That Bible says your heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. It will find any excuse to do what's wrong. And then you'll pretend it's okay. Sin is not okay. It's an offense to God. People go to hell and spend eternity in hell burning because of their sin. And it was your sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, and his blood was shed to pay for your sin. Your sin. You. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. I just love Jesus. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. Show me. I'm not from Missouri. I still want to see it. You know what Jesus said? By their fruits you shall know them. You can talk all you want to. I want to see what you're going to produce. And I'm not looking at today. I'm not looking at tomorrow. I want to see where you're going to be in 5 years. Where are you going to be in 10 years? I look back. I've mentioned this now a few times. 30 years. I'm not perfect. I've made plenty of mistakes. I've had to confess plenty of sin down at the altar. I've had to get counseling from good pastors and good friends. Still serving. Still serving. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's scary. Never happened to me. You sure? You sure about that? Proverbs 13, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Ooh, that's kind of scary. Well, I'm a King James Bible believer. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You want to, Pastor, I'm going to say something really strange. You know, I've met people who don't know anything about the King James Bible issue. They have no comprehension of the translations, nothing. They're just a Christian. They love the Lord. They have a Bible, probably not a King James Bible. But they got more character than some people in here. Because they're doing what they know. Some of you know a lot and you're not doing anything. Woe unto you, whoso despiseth the word. When you know what you should do and you don't, you're despising what God's already told you. Oh, that's harsh. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Who do you fear more? You know why you don't do what God says to do? One, maybe because you just don't want to. But one, maybe you're afraid of the wrong thing. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding is given. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. It's hard. I'm just going to go do my own thing. It's going to be hard. Life is hard, and I don't know, Kyle, I don't know, you could probably, some of you, Bryce, you can agree to this. Life's hard enough. Yeah. I've had to endure some difficulties. Nothing compared to what other people. It's not a pity party. I'm just saying, that's what happens in life. You endure hardship. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. Honestly, looking through what I've gone, watching what some other people are having to endure, some of the difficulties they're having to endure. How do lost people get through this life? I don't know. Because the only way I'm here tonight is by God's grace. You know how the devil will get you? Just put the wrong person in your life. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, Brother Steve, he just doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe I don't, but God does. Drugs, immorality, alcohol, that's the easy stuff. All right? I mean, I got backslidden. I got away from God in high school. But for some reason, that stuff had no allure to me. All the kids I hung out with, they were doing that. Most of the kids. They were doing that. I just had no desire. They would invite me to go to the parties, and then they would never invite me again. Here, you want some of this? No. Well, why not? I mean, everybody. Yeah, but the Bible says not to do that. I don't think we should be doing this. And then I wondered why they never invited me again. And I was backslidden. I wasn't trying to serve God. It was God had put that inside of me. And I thank God for it. Kept me out of a lot of trouble. Amen. The devil, he'll tempt you with it, though. He'll tempt you with, what do you believe? Examine yourselves. That's what we're talking about. Examine yourselves. What do you believe? Are you prepared for that temptation? You know what the devil used? A traumatic event. Divorce, the death of a child, or the death of a loved one, or a disability, or something like that. People get angry. People get bitter. You know what the devil loves to feed on? An unthankful spirit. Ingratitude. Discontentment. Not being content with what you have. The Bible tells us to be content with such things as you have. Amen? He says, the Lord is... let's see here. I'm going to have to quote it because I'm an old person now. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and this is what the Lord says. Very curious combinations of verses here. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now to a younger person, you would think those things don't seem to be connected, but they are connected. If you're covetous, you're not content. You say, how can I become content? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you have Jesus Christ, you have everything you need. Say, wait a minute, that's too easy. I know. It's so easy that you want to complicate it and you just skip right over it. And yet people are not content, and guess what happens? They open up the door for the devil to come in, and bad things start happening. It always starts with something simple, skipping church. See, well, that doesn't matter. It matters. Your heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. You will excuse anything, and the devil will use anything you give him. It's Wednesday night. I don't really have to go tonight. I mean, you know. That's the one message you need. It's the one study you need. It's the one thing that, the very thing that God was going to give you to keep you from going off the rails was there, that message that you missed. So I'm going to go back Sunday. Well, I mean, it's not irreparable damage, but if you keep doing it, then you get used to it, and then you start excusing it, and before long, you're not skipping Wednesday night. Now you're skipping Sunday night. Right. And then before long, you're out. You're not reading your Bible regularly. That will be the end of you. You will not survive the spiritual life if you don't spend time reading your Bible. You must read your Bible. I just don't get anything out of it. Well, how much are you putting into it? Man, Steve, why are you so mean? I'm trying to help you. Amen. I'm trying to help you. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Are you reading your Bible regularly? Why not? Why not? Entertainment. Oh, man. We could spend all night on this. Man, I've gone too long already. Entertainment, you know. I was talking to one of my employees the other day, and we were just randomly talking about stuff, and they said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, you know, I've worked with my church and spent a lot of time studying, and, you know, I go up there and help this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what do you do? And, oh, well, you know, well, I like to play video games. I'm like, loser. But, and, you know, I don't keep up with this stuff, you know. I can barely use this stuff here. And I'm so outdated. I have a gaming system. It's a PS2. I think we're on 5 now, I think is the latest one, right? I don't know. I have like 6 games. I don't remember the last time I turned it on. I don't even know why I have it. But this guy was saying, oh yeah, some of those. I said, yeah, I quit playing it because, you know, it took me an hour to get through all these levels. And it's like, what a waste of time. And, you know, it's just a game. What does it do? Nothing. He goes, oh yeah, you get online. You do some of that online gaming. It's 3 and 4 hours. I'm like, no wonder these kids are worthless. They're staying up all night long playing a stupid game. They get 2 hours of sleep and wonder why they're doing so poorly in school. How come mom and dad aren't yanking that? Why do they even have it in their rooms? Am I getting too personal? I don't know. Entertainment will destroy you. Temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. A little bit's okay. A lot is not okay. You need a lot of this. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All right. Bitterness will destroy you. Remember, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And remember how he did it. Yea, hath God said. Started questioning God. All right, we got to finish. Are you saved? Are you sound in doctrine? Are you in sin? Last thing tonight, are you serving? Are you serving? Plenty of people live right. But you know something? We need servants. The church won't survive if people don't help. What are you doing for Christ? You don't have to be crazy. You don't have to be weird. You can just be a normal person, but you can be a normal Christian person. You can be a normal saved person. I moved to Oklahoma City about a year and a half. I'm a manager. Our facility has about 180 employees. I have about 30 in my direct line of supervision. But we all interact, and we have a very large, it's a lot of people. But when I came out, I interviewed, and I was given a position, and I let the hiring manager know. I said, now listen, I am an ordained minister. I am a Christian. I just want you to know that up front, that, you know, I take this very seriously. This is very important to me. No problem. Well, he tells all the other managers, these people are heathen. And so I show up and they're like, oh, so you're the preacher, huh? And I said, yeah. Well, blankety blank blank. And I'm like, now they're trying to provoke, you know. So after a little while, I just started making, you know, snarky little comments like, the English language has 180,000 words in common usage and another 40,000 words that are no longer in common usage, but somewhat common. Vast vocabulary. Let's try to be creative and unique, you know. Can we think of different words? You blankety blank. Okay. And then they're really mad because I'm starting to make fun of them, you know. And I would say things, oh, wait, can I say something real quick? I have a Bible verse that just popped into my mind. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. By this time, they're screaming, hollering, man. Then they want to start saying lewd things. You can be a Christian and you can tell the truth. And you don't have to be a crazy fanatic. You can just be a normal person. There's no hope for me, but we try. So I had another guy transferred into a location. We're talking, and word gets around. That's the guy who doesn't cuss. That's me. I don't curse. I am known as the preacher who doesn't curse. That's not a bad testimony to have. So this guy, he'd been there for a little while, and we were talking. I didn't have a lot of interaction with him, but he's talking. He said, "Hey, I heard you're a minister." And I said, "Yes, I've been called to preach. Yes, I do preach." He goes, "You know, you kind of have a glow around you. You kind of look like a preacher." I'm like, "I don't know what that means, but thank you." You say, "What are you saying?" I just go in and I do my job to the best of my ability, and I try to act like a Christian. You can do that. You can do that. Will you do that? What does it mean to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? It means to live a holy life. Clean up your language. Clean up your conversation. You don't have to talk about the filthy things that everyone else talks about. You don't have to participate in that. You can say, whoa, stop. That's filthy. No, thank you. And if they want to continue, fine, you just leave. Be a light and a testimony to others. Now, I've used myself as an illustration, but I've heard this from more than one person, that there's a cleanness to my countenance, not because of me. In my heart is filthy wickedness, and I know that, and I have to fight that every day. And sometimes it pops out. I'm not perfect. I'm not sinless. But what I'm saying is, when you spend time with God and you spend time in this word and you try to put this into practice, it changes you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Praise the Lord. Are you faithful in church services? Do you give? Do you give to missions? Thankful for the church in this testimony. Amen. Supporting missions and doing missionary campaigns. That's fantastic. We're to fight the good fight of faith. And I'll close with these thoughts here. But not every person who's in the armed services goes to the front lines. You know that, right? How many here were in the armed services? Does everyone go to the front lines? You have to have support personnel. Somebody's got to fix the truck when it breaks down, right? There's all kinds of positions in the armed services. Some of it's IT, some of it's medical. My dad was drafted for Vietnam. Thankfully, he never went over, but he was put in the medical corps. It's kind of weird. He grew up on the farm. Him and his buddies, their idea of fun was going out in the mountains and picking out a twig off the tree 200 yards. See the twig where it bends down like that? Can you hit that? Sure. You know, he could hit the target 300 yards without even going on his knee. He could hit standing. Let's put him in the medical corps. Right? That's our brilliant government for us. Nurses, IT, supply, logistics, procurement, food preps, cooks. There's all kinds of, you can serve the Lord. There's something for you to do. Are you serving? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The best life is to live a life of service to the Lord. We are in a war. War is messy. It's hard. But everything that you do has an effect on someone else. And it is important. That's not important. It is important. Somebody's watching. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Know, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. Are you saved? Are you sound in doctrine? Are you in sin? Or are you serving? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, Brother Kyle. Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon the preaching.